So this article you sent me about Papua New Guinea, right? Like officially declaring itself a Christian state.
Yeah.
I mean, that really jumped out at me, I gotta say.
It's pretty big.
Like for a country with, I mean, so many different cultures, so many different faiths,
Yeah.
it feels like a really, I don't know, a serious like constitutional shift, would you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just, some symbolic thing.
Right.
This is really about integrating like religious identity, like right into their laws.
Right into the like the foundation of the country.
Exactly, their foundational legal document.
So okay, so for this deep dive, what we really want to do is get into like what this actually means, you know?
Yeah.
'Cause this Christian Culture news piece, it lays out like all the amendment details, but it also has this like, I found it fascinating, this perspective from a Catholic priest who's like, this is all just cosmetic.
Right.
So like that's what we want to unpack.
Yeah. Get under the surface.
What's going on here? And like, what could this mean
Yeah. What are the ripple
for
effects?
Papua New Guinea?
We need to go beyond just the announcement
Yeah.
and figure out, is there substance here
Right.
or is it just for show, like the priest says?
Okay, so let's start with like the amendment itself.
Okay.
Like Papua New Guinea is now officially, like on paper, a Christian state. What does that even look like practically? Like, what's
Yeah.
the core idea here?
Basically, they're trying to make Christian identity like a part of how the whole country is run.
Okay.
The article makes it clear this isn't just about saying, okay, most people here are Christian.
Right.
It's about saying Christian values are going to be like prioritized when they make laws,
I
when they
see.
interpret laws.
So it's almost like,
It's like if a company,
yeah.
puts their mission statement in front
Right.
and center,
Right.
then everything they do
Yeah.
is supposed to like reflect that.
Okay, so that raises some really interesting questions then, right?
Sure.
For a country that has so many different people,
Yeah.
like what does that mean for people who don't share those beliefs?
Right.
It seems like there's a chance that some folks are going to feel,
Like they don't belong.
yeah, like less important to
Absolutely.
the national identity.
That's a huge point.
Yeah.
The article talks about that.
Yeah.
Like, what if this makes non-Christian communities feel marginalized?
Yeah.
And what if it like increases tensions?
Right, because when the state is saying we are this,
What?
like officially,
Yeah.
it changes the relationship with everybody who's not that.
Exactly. The relationship between the government
Right.
and people of other faiths or no faith.
It kind of implies like a whole new way that the government might see its citizens.
Yeah, a lens of religious identity.
Okay, so let's bring in this priest now.
Okay.
He seems very skeptical
Yeah, not
for
impressed.
this whole declaration.
He doesn't mince words.
Why is
He's
that?
basically saying, look, just saying you're a Christian state doesn't magically fix things.
Right.
It doesn't solve the problems Papua New Guinea has.
The real problems.
Yeah, the corruption, the poverty, the violence.
So he's saying, like, putting it on paper doesn't make it real.
Exactly. Actions speak louder than words.
He's calling them out.
He's saying, look, you need to actually commit.
Yeah.
You need to make laws and policies that line up with what Christians say they believe.
So show, don't tell me.
Right. Show me you actually value human dignity.
It's like saying you're generous,
Yeah.
but never actually giving to charity.
Exactly.
Okay, so to really understand this whole declaration thing, we need some historical context, right?
Absolutely.
Like, how did religion even get to Papua New Guinea?
Well, you got to go back to the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Okay.
That's when the European missionaries showed up.
Okay.
And it was a huge change for the country.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a place that already had so many cultures,
Incredibly
and then
diverse.
suddenly you've got all these different Christian denominations coming
Yeah,
in.
they brought a whole new set of beliefs.
And the article talks about how they were really strategic about how they spread their message.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
they used local customs and
They
languages.
wanted to connect with people.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's pretty smart.
To use what's already there.
It helped them build relationships and
Yeah.
communicate their teachings.
So did that work?
I mean, look at the denominations they mention:
Okay.
Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran, United Churches.
Those are big
They
ones.
had a huge impact.
Beyond just religion, right?
Oh, yeah, way beyond.
Like what else?
They set up schools.
Okay.
They brought in Western legal ideas. They
Wow.
changed social norms.
Like they shaped the whole society.
I mean, think about it. When
Yeah.
they started mission schools,
Right.
that often meant people learned to read and write.
In their own languages.
Exactly.
So these missions, they weren't just churches. They were
Yeah.
like centers for building the country.
They were laying the foundation.
For education, for government.
For everything.
So by the time Papua New Guinea became independent in 1975, Christianity was already like embedded.
Right, it was part of their identity.
Yeah.
The constitution even back then recognized that.
But I imagine it couldn't have been easy, right?
What do you mean?
Like to blend all those new Christian beliefs with the existing indigenous cultures.
Oh, it was a huge challenge. And the article points out that it's still something they're figuring out.
Like how to balance.
Yeah, how to honor both.
The Christian heritage
and
the incredible diversity of their people.
It's a constant conversation.
So knowing that history, like what's the public reaction been to this new declaration?
You mean making it official?
Yeah, like a Christian state.
It's been mixed.
Really?
Yeah, it's not like everybody's on board.
So it's not this like huge celebration.
Not exactly.
Okay, what's the split?
Well, the article mentions this survey
by
the PNG Institute of National Affairs,
and
it found that about 57% of people support it.
Okay, so a majority?
Yeah, but a significant chunk, about 28%.
Almost a third.
Yeah, they're not happy about it.
Wow. So clearly this is complicated.
Very complicated.
Okay, so for the people who like it, why?
They see it as a way to like strengthen their culture.
Okay.
Reinforce values.
What kind of values?
Moral values, the kind they associate with Christianity.
I see.
And they think it'll bring people together.
More unity.
Yeah, and they hope it'll help them tackle some of their problems.
The corruption we talked about.
Yeah, that crime.
So they see this as like a solution.
Some of them do.
Okay, and the people who are against it, what are they worried about?
Their biggest concern is religious freedom.
Okay.
They're afraid that if you say the state is Christian, that means discrimination against anyone who's not.
It makes them second-class citizens.
Basically, yeah.
And it just increases those divisions we talked about.
Exactly.
That's a really valid concern, right?
Absolutely.
Like if the government is saying we are this one religion, where does that leave everyone else?
And it's not just everyday people who are divided.
Really?
Even religious leaders disagree.
Okay, so like...
You've got church leaders who love this amendment, but you've got others who are saying, no, this is bad.
Right.
They say it's going to exclude people.
Yeah.
Hurt social harmony.
Make things worse.
And then you've got people who believe in religious pluralism.
Right.
They're worried too.
Like more conflict between faiths.
Exactly.
And it sounds like there are even folks who are just like...
Yeah.
This doesn't change anything.
Right.
Like for our daily lives.
They're the ones who agree with the priest.
They want real solutions.
Yeah. For things like education and healthcare.
Not just words.
Not just a label.
So it's not all sunshine and roses.
Not at all.
Okay. So we know it's controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But what about practically?
What do you mean?
Like, how could this actually change how Papua New Guinea is run?
Oh, in a lot of ways. Right. Even though it's symbolic, it could have a real impact on their laws, on their public services, even on how they think about human rights.
Because now they're saying we're a Christian state.
Right.
So that means...
There's going to be pressure.
To make laws that reflect that.
Exactly. Laws that line up with Christian values.
Like what kind of laws?
I mean, it could be anything.
Okay.
Family law.
Mm-hmm.
Social conduct.
Regulations.
The whole nine yards.
Can you give me an example?
Like something specific.
Yeah, like what about education?
Oh, that's a big one.
How so?
Well, the article talks about the possibility of Christian teachings being put right into public schools.
Like required.
It's possible.
Wow. So then you have to ask, like what exactly are they teaching?
Right. What values are they emphasizing?
And then there's the money.
Yeah. How does this affect funding?
Like do religious schools get more?
It's something to think about.
Yeah. That would change things for kids.
Absolutely.
What about social services?
Same thing.
You mean like?
Welfare, family support, all of that.
Right.
Could be influenced by Christian doctrine.
Which might be fine for some people.
Yeah, a lot of people probably. But what about the minorities?
Right. But people who don't believe that.
Exactly. Will they get pushed aside?
Will they have trouble accessing services?
It's a real concern.
So it's this balancing act between being a Christian state.
Yeah.
And treating everyone fairly.
Exactly. And the article quotes some political analysts who say that's the key.
Finding that balance.
You got to honor your identity.
Right.
But you also got to protect everyone's rights.
Makes you wonder about other countries.
Yeah.
Like, have any other places done this?
Declared themselves Christian?
Yeah. Or had like a really close relationship.
Between church and state.
Yeah. Are there any examples we can learn from?
There are a few the article mentions.
Okay, tell me.
Well, there's Sweden. They've got that Lutheran history.
Right.
And they used to have a state church.
So even though it's separate now,
it still has influence
on their culture.
Yeah, and their values.
So that connection lingers.
It's hard to completely break away.
And are they having debates about this?
Oh, yeah.
About secularism?
Mm-hmm. About minority rights.
Okay, what about a country where the church and state are closer?
Ethiopia.
Okay.
Their Orthodox church is deeply tied to the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big part of their identity.
Yeah.
And it helps hold their communities together.
So it works for them.
But the article says it's also caused tension.
Oh, really?
Between Orthodox Christians and other groups.
So it's not perfect.
Not at all.
That's a good comparison.
To Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, it shows that just because you're officially religious doesn't mean you're going to have harmony.
Definitely not.
Okay, what about the Philippines?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
How so?
They're not officially a Christian state, but Catholicism is huge there.
Yeah.
It influences their politics, their culture, everything. But that can lead to clashes between the church and the government.
Like when they disagree.
Exactly.
Which could definitely happen in Papua New Guinea, too.
For sure.
It seems like all these examples are saying,
yeah,
this is really hard.
When religion and government get mixed up.
It's messy.
It is.
So what about the people in Papua New Guinea who aren't Christian?
Right.
Like, what does this declaration mean for them?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And it's a big concern.
Like, what about religious pluralism?
Mm.
Like, can that even exist in a Christian state?
And what about just basic fairness?
For people who don't follow the dominant religion.
Yeah, what about their civil rights?
Because it's not like everyone in Papua New Guinea is Christian, right?
No, not at all.
Like, historically, they've had so many different beliefs.
Oh, yeah, it's a diverse place.
Indigenous practices, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism.
It's all there.
So now the worry is this could make things less welcoming.
Less inclusive.
For those minority faiths.
It's possible.
Like, they might not have a voice anymore.
Yeah, who's going to listen to them?
So instead of bringing people together.
Like they hoped.
It could actually push people apart.
It could.
And the article really stresses how important it is.
To keep talking.
To have those tough conversations.
Between different faiths.
To make sure everyone feels valued.
But to protect everyone's rights.
Whether they're religious or not.
Exactly.
Okay, so looking ahead then.
Mm-hmm.
What are the big challenges?
For Papua New Guinea.
Now that they've done this.
Well, the big one is, how do they make this work?
You make it.
How do they balance their new religious identity with the need to be inclusive?
Of everyone.
Of everyone.
I mean, they're saying they're a Christian state.
Right.
But they can't just ignore everyone who's not.
It's going to be tough.
Hebe.
And there's going to be a lot of pressure on the government.
To show they mean it?
To show they're serious about Christian values.
But also to show they respect everyone.
And people are going to have different ideas about what that looks like.
Right. Some people are going to want the government to be super Christian.
Yeah. Like promoting those values everywhere.
And others are going to want them to be more hands-off.
Yeah. Protecting everyone's freedom.
So how do they even decide?
That's where the dialogue comes in.
Yeah.
They need to talk to each other.
Figure out a way forward.
And they need a clear vision.
Of what kind of country they want to be.
A vision that includes everyone.
Because if they don't do that.
It's just going to be trouble.
It could tear them apart.
Yeah.
So this whole declaration thing, like, was it a big deal?
Or was it just for show?
Like the priest said.
Well, I think it's both.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely significant.
Right. They changed their constitution.
Exactly. They put it in writing.
They're a Christian state.
But like the priest said,
what
matters is what they do now.
It's about action.
It's about how this affects people's lives.
So it's not enough to just say it.
No, they have to live it.
They have to show.
Through their policies.
Through their laws.
That they actually care about everyone.
About Christian values.
Yeah, about compassion. About justice.
About peace.
About making sure those ideals are real.
Not just words on paper.
Exactly.
So for you, what's the biggest takeaway from all this?
I think it's the challenge.
What challenge?
Of being inclusive.
Okay.
When you're also trying to be a religious state.
Yeah, like how do you do both?
Especially in a place as diverse as Papua New Guinea.
And what do you think will be the hardest part for them moving forward?
Like, what's the biggest hurdle?
I think it's finding that balance
between
being Christian and being fair to everyone.
Making sure nobody gets left behind.
That's the key.
This whole Papua New Guinea situation.
Yeah.
It makes you think about bigger questions, doesn't it?
It does.
Like in the world today,
mm-hmm.
how do countries balance?
who they are.
Like their culture, their history, which are often tied to religion.
Right. With being inclusive.
Respecting everyone's rights.
It's something we all need to think about.
Definitely.
Especially as the world gets smaller.
More connected.
Yeah.
It's a question for everyone.